And that's what we're going to see today, is God making room for the kingdom of heaven. And our response to what God shows us and what to is basically asking the question, are we ready for that day? Are we ready, you know, to be the occupiers of the kingdom of heaven? And so we'll touch on that as we go through. The main thing that John and God was trying to do through the book of Revelation is to encourage people not to give up. And in the face of great opposition, I mean, for these guys, it was their very lives, their freedom for the cause of Christ that was at stake. In the early chapters, Antipas had already been killed. There were more martyrs to come right after this period. And for the next couple hundred years, there would be many Christians would die simply for being Christian. We know that. And God is trying to encourage us to stay the course in the midst of the world, in the midst of two things, right? We saw this, the beast who is fierce, right, and attacking, and the harlot that is alluring us. And that's what we talked about last time, was the harlot that allures us. She's dressed fine. She's got gold and pearls, and she's pretty, and she's full of blasphemy, adultery, and anti-Christ, anti-God philosophy. And she was misleading the entire world, the great Babylon. And so we pick up here in chapter 18. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, and he had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become the home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." So first, this is picking up right where we left off last time. And the idea of the sin and the luxury of Babylon. Now, in the ancient day and in the time that John is writing this, Babylon literally was Rome, because Rome was the center of human prosperity, of human powers, and we still see the ruins of that Rome today. Right? You can still, if you went there, you would see it. And it was glorious and it was awesome, but it was anti-God, anti-Christ. It was pure evil, right? And so this is how he describes the fall of Babylon. Babylon is destroyed. We saw last time how the smoke of her rises up and up and up. But here's the thing about this. And I really, you know, sometimes when I think about our neighborhood, the neighborhood, when a community gives itself to sin, when a community gives itself to the worship of everything but God, when a community is about stuff, and our nation is about stuff, and our community here is often more about sin than it is about trying to please God or think about God. Most of the time, people are trying to keep God out of their mind, out of their heart, out of their homes, out of the schools, out of everything. People don't want to invite God in. They want to keep it. Why? Because God would restrict what they do with their lives. God would restrict what we do with our bodies and with our minds and how we spend our time, and on it goes. And so when you have a society that has given itself over to sin, here it says that it became the home for demons and every evil spirit. And that's part of what goes on in communities where sin reigns and rules. It's not just, Paul said, you know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against powers, exactly, rulers, authorities, and powers. Rulers, authorities, and powers. We're you know, R-A-P, rap, okay? We're wrestling against rulers, authorities, and powers, spiritual powers that are at work. And that's how he describes the force behind Babylon was this demonic presence. And it was luring people. Again, not with evil, but with money, with power, with gold, with beauty, right? With sex and all the things that people get lured away from God for. And so now comes Judgment Day. Now comes the day where the whore of Babylon is destroyed, where Babylon is crushed. And so fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. And then he said, this is it. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to the heavens, and God remembered her crimes. Listen, we see these things all the time. You say, man, you know, that's wrong. That shouldn't be allowed. And we think, you know, somebody should do something about that, right? Just the way, you know, one of my pet peeves in the neighborhood is the trucks running up and down our streets. I mean, you know, semi-trucks wouldn't be allowed anywhere else in a suburban community anywhere, but they're allowed to storm up and down our streets and endanger our lives and ruin our standard of living and all that. Now, it's just a small little thing of sin, but I cry out in my heart, that's wrong. It's wrong, you know. Now, that doesn't say anything about the drug dealing, the guys that play rap so loud that windows, you know, vibrate and car alarms go off and on and on and on the sin goes. But we see it and we say it's wrong and it's something that should be done. And the answer in Revelation is something is going to be done. Something's going to be done. But he warns us. He warns us, those who belong to God, those who believe in God. He says, come out of her. In Isaiah, he says, come out, touch not the unclean thing. Be careful. This is like the thing I say mostly going through Revelation. Be careful. Be careful how much of the American culture you let into your heart. Be careful how much, you know, how does the world want to identify us? Based upon what we drive, where we live, what we have in the bank. That's how the world wants to identify us. They want to, you know, what's success? Don Trump, that's success. The kingdom of God isn't based on those things. The kingdom of God is about heart. The kingdom of God is about soul. The kingdom of God is about righteousness. The kingdom of God is about joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is about a whole different standard of being than what the world teaches us. And so we have to be careful not to be owned by the stuff of the world. We can own it, but don't let it own you. You understand? That's the thing. We can own it, but don't let it own you. And one of the things, so there's a warning. He says, you know, be careful, come out of her. Now, he doesn't literally mean, you know, Paul says at one point, if we had to you know, get rid away from all sin, he said we'd have to leave the world. You know, what he's talking about is don't let the passions of it, don't let their identities creep into your heart, creep into your soul, and take over who you are. You know, I am not a good American. I'm not ashamed to say it. I am not a good American. I don't live like a good American. I don't want to live like a good American. I just don't. I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a good kingdom of God person. And that puts me at odds with America and American culture and stuff like that. So the warning is just be careful. Be careful. Now, he goes on to talk about in the rest of this chapter how everybody that was engaged with Babylon, it says, you know, she's going to receive a double portion, torture for her glory and luxury, grief for her luxury. In other words, whatever she had in glory, now comes torture. Whatever she had in luxury, now comes grief, right? And then, you know, there's plagues and fire are going to bring her down in a day. The kings are going to weep. Why? Because they were attached to her. Everything they had came from her. All their power, all their luxury. It says the merchants are going to weep. Amazon is going to weep. You know, because nobody's online anymore. Nobody's buying anything anymore, right? It says the sea captains are going to weep and say, woe, oh, woe, oh, great city. In other words, all the economic industries are going to weep. When people are attached to Babylon and Babylon falls, everything you love is taken away. That's why he warns us. Don't be so attached. Don't be so attached that you can't let go of it. Because when the day comes, if you're attached to it, you're going to get condemned with it. If you're detached from it, you know, you're going to miss the stuff. But you're not going to, it's not the end of your life. It's not the end of who you are. It's not like the end of the world to you, right? Then it says, rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea. And he said, with such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. Now, a millstone, they're kind of interesting things. My arms aren't big enough to say. But the bottom millstone is huge. And it's got a trough. And then you have a smaller millstone that rolls around the big one. And so you got this big channel in the bottom. But the bottom millstone, you need a forklift to pick it up, right? And so the idea of casting this huge stone into the sea, bam, it's gone, right? So that's how sudden and that's how deep the destruction of Babylon will be. It says the music of harpists, musicians, flute players, and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of the millstone will never be heard in you again. The lamp light, the light of the lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of the bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. Your magic spell and all the nations were led astray. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who have been killed on earth. So here's, the judgment and the emptiness that's left behind for everybody that was engaged. Here's the thing about what's happening. Babylon, the city of sin, the city of man, cannot coexist with the city of God and the kingdom of heaven. Isn't it interesting that the world's big cry is coexist, be tolerant. Everybody should get along, right? And it shouldn't, religion shouldn't matter. Well, it does matter. It does matter. And you can't coexist. Sin and God cannot coexist. The city of sin, Babylon, cannot coexist with the kingdom of heaven. So before the kingdom of heaven can come, Babylon must go away. And that's what you're seeing in this picture is that, there's no more merchants, there's no more rap music, there's no more craziness. It's all gone. Not a sound. Why? Because it's gone. It's been judged. It's been condemned. Right? No hard rock either. So just in case. Just you think I'm only picking up, and probably no country music. Too much adultery in that stuff. Yeah, you can't have it, right? After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven, shouting, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for the true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again, they shouted, hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen, hallelujah. And then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you servants, you who fear him, both small and great. So here it is. Again, you have the destruction and the emptiness of Babylon. There's not a whisper coming out of Babylon anymore. And what's replacing it? The praise of the leadership of heaven. The praise of the leadership of heaven. The 24 elders, the head representatives of all humanity that are saved, they're there. All creation, the four living creatures, they're there. And they're all bowing down and paying allegiance to God. They're all praising God. Hallelujah basically means praise Yahweh, right? And amen means it's true. It's true, right? And so it's just all this praise, swearing allegiance to God. Swearing allegiance to God. See, the kingdom of heaven has no place for any other voice. There's no place for the counter argument. And one of the things I can't stand about modern news, because they got to keep jibber-jabbering all day, is it's like they'll have someone who'll make a point, but they always have to have the guy that makes the counterpoint. When the kingdom of heaven comes, there's a point. And there is no counterpoint. It's all hallelujah and amen. And if we can't say that, we don't belong, right? And that's what this picture is. As Babylon is wiped out, as Babylon is taken out of the way, then the court of heaven is all in agreement that God is right, God is just, God is doing it right, and we're ready to follow, we're ready to serve, we're ready to praise mighty God. And the cry comes out, you know, praise him, you servants. That's why we're practicing every Sunday. We're practicing to praise God. We're practicing to be among that group, you know. We're practicing to know his spirit, to know his truth, to follow him, to live with him. We're practicing so that when that day comes, we won't be surprised. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, and like the peals of thunder, loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." Now here again, now we're invited. Now it's you had the elders, you had the four living creatures, and now come on. And it sounds like, you know, I told you before, like Niagara Falls, it sounds like thunder when you get near it. That a thunderous praise, a thunderous, you know, adoration of God just rising up, you know, just awakening every heart, every soul. Nobody staring off in the side looking. Everybody engaged, everybody giving praise and thanks, right? And then he tells us they all are wearing the robes, right? And what are the robes? Righteousness. Righteousness. They didn't get righteousness when they came into the room. It doesn't say that. It says they were the righteous acts of the saints. This is where we put on our robes right now. How do we get it? Well, righteousness comes, we know, by one name, believing in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus died for my sins. Jesus Christ died for my sins and gave me the gift of... When I believe that Jesus has power to forgive me, when I believe that Jesus has power to change my life, to change my heart, that's righteousness. It's a gift of God. It's just a matter of I believe Jesus can make me right. I believe Jesus can make me whole. And when we believe that, we become right, we become whole. And then we live our lives with that garment on. Doesn't mean, as we know, it doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Because we do. But that's not our goal. And we see them and you know, it's like Paul says at one point, they're like blotches. They're like stains on your garment, you know. Barb came home yesterday from a little shower. She had a white sweater and there was a red mark. She couldn't see it. There's a red mark on her sweater. Icing or something got on her sweater. What do you do with that? You wash it out. You clean it up, right? You don't walk, it's all right. And, you know, like some slob eating spaghetti, it's all dripping down, you know. No. You're not going to get in like that. You see the spot and you get it out, right? But we're doing the righteous acts. We're living as Christ would have us live. We're doing the things that Christ wants us to do. We're becoming the people that God wants us to become. Amen. Now, so that we're ready when the wedding banquet is open. That's used many times. The wedding banquet is open, we're dressed, we're ready. We fit in, and we're ready again to join the crowd. God Almighty, you reign, praise you. You know, it's awesome, right? It's awesome. And then the angel said to me, "Right, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Man, that's us. Come on, I want to be there. And he added, "These are the true words of God. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said, 'Do not do it.'" Exclamation. "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus." Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now think about how according to what we understand, how the mess of this world began. It began in heaven. It began by a rebellion of angels. Here's an angel, and John starts to worship. He says, "Get up! Don't you? We're not going there again. You know, there's no room for rebellion in the kingdom of God. There's no room for that. We're done with that stuff." And he said, "You know, this is one thing I tell you. Say, listen, you don't ever worship an angel. I don't pray to angels. I don't pray to people. I pray to Jesus Christ, or I pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. But I do not put anybody in the place of Jesus Christ. He is the one and only mediator between men and God. Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus is the only name. And I don't call on any other name. I don't worship any other name. I worship God. I worship Jesus. I worship the Holy Spirit, the three that are one. That's what we worship." And that's what this angel says. And then the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you ever feel that? See, that to me, that's a reality. You know, I'm a prophet. I really am. I'm a prophet. And not in the sense of I'm telling you the future. I'm preaching who Jesus is. I'm telling you who Jesus is and what Jesus is. That's the testimony. That's the prophecy. We're almost there. So you have all the leadership in heaven worshiping. You have all the saints in heaven worshiping, one accord, one voice, one God reigning over everything, right? And then comes the king. "Then I saw heaven standing open, and before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So after all heaven, all the saints, all the leadership, all the angels are on one page, here's the king. Here's the king. Not king by popular vote. Not king because he usurped that place of authority, but king because of who he is. King because he submitted to the Father. King because he has truth and justice. King because he has inherent authority. King because God Almighty said when he died and rose again that he would give him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here is the centerpiece of the kingdom of heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus. No longer are we seeing him as the lamb that was slain, as in chapter 5. He came up, you know, he came out of the throne. I mean, again, we never forget that image. But now he's got the whole army of God behind him. Now he's in absolute power and absolute authority. He is our Lord. He is our King. He's the one we're waiting to. Can you imagine riding behind Jesus on a white horse? I mean, I like the image, okay? I like the image. Question is, see, going back to it, if we love Babylon, we don't get to be a part of that great picture of heaven. If Babylon gets a hold of us, right? Or if we give up because the beast is mean, right? We become like the beast or become like the harlot. That ruins it. Because there's no room in this picture at the end. There's no room for rebellion, no room for sin, no room for anything but those who seriously commit to the authority and power of God and his righteous right reign in the kingdom. We want to be a part of that picture. We want to be a part of that picture. And it begins now. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. I pray you have. I pray that Jesus Christ is real to you. That he is, you know, when you start to feel doubts about your walk with God, just rehearse the power of the cross in your heart and in your mind. Remind yourself of who Jesus is and that his power in the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ, makes it so God never remembers our sins. The righteous robes that we cling to and clean any spot so that we don't mess ourselves up. We want to live through this world as God's instruments so we can get to this world as God's people forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray with you. And Father, I do pray for us that, especially in this week, as we think about Jesus and think about the celebration of the cross and the resurrection, that we will take seriously our part in this picture, our part as people of God, that Jesus Christ gave everything for us to be in that picture. He gave everything to us so that we could walk with you and be yours, not just now, not just for a little while, but for all eternity, God, to join that heavenly crowd. God, I pray for us. Help us to keep these things in our mind. The text at the very beginning said there's a blessing to everyone that holds this word in their heart. Help us to hold it in our heart, God. Carry it with us as we go through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You put up Our God Reigns. It's on the list. Yes.
Thank you.
pray that we would know who you are and know that you're alive, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to be your people, to follow you in everything, to walk with you, to listen to you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to make you our King, make you our Lord in our hearts. Please, Lord Jesus, keep us from sin, keep us from heading the wrong direction, Lord. Help us to obey you, help us to live our lives to show that we love you, and help us to tell others about you as often as we can. Just give us strength, give us courage, give us your truth. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.